This is Digital Story Podcast number 722, January 21st, 2020. Today's theme is non-confrontational street photography. I'm Derek Story. Many photographers whom I've worked with over the years, they like the idea of exploring urban environments with their cameras, but just aren't comfortable approaching strangers for pictures. I totally understand that sentiment and have worked on a strategy that I call non-confrontational street photography. And the best part? People shots will still be part of the mix. I'm going to talk about that in the first segment of today's show. I hope you enjoy this time with me. So before I get into the street photography, and I just came back from my last scouting trip in Southern California for my upcoming street photography experience, LA street photography experience, that's coming up in March. We have a workshop in March. I'll talk a little bit more about it later on in the show. Just a great time. I got to see family, have family down there. I got to explore the streets of LA via public transportation. You know, a lot of people don't realize that LA now has a very good transportation system. And on the way back, on the last day, I got to stop at Levi's Stadium and watch the San Francisco 49ers play the Green Bay Packers, thanks to my son who works for the San Francisco 49ers. So it was really a terrific trip. The only casualty from the trip is my voice, and that didn't happen during the street photography, but that certainly happened during the 49ers game. I don't have a cold. I feel great. A little tired, but I feel great. But I did a bit too much yelling last night. So here we go. Let's talk about street photography, voice and all. So here's the thing. A lot of people really do like exploring urban environments with their cameras, and I am one of them. I enjoy it. I think it's really neat because you never really know what you're going to see. And there's a combination of things going on when you're exploring a city. There are, you know, the people there, of course. There's architecture. There's signage. There's all sorts of stuff. Transportation, right? Cars and buses and trains, all that good stuff. It's rich for photography. If you're out there for 3 or 4 hours, you are going to come back with shots. Now, the thing that some photographers run into, many photographers run into, with the people side of the shots is they don't really know how to handle it. You know, you don't want to stand back from a distance and shoot people shots with a telephoto because that's creepy. That's creepy. And especially this day and age, I think it's a terrible idea to do that. So you want to be up close and personal with the people that you are photographing in urban environments. But then there is some interaction involved, and that's where a lot of photographers hit the wall. You know, I don't want to walk up to strangers who may turn me down or who may react adversely to me asking if I could take their picture or that I've taken their picture, can I use it? You know, that whole sort of thing. It makes a lot of people squeamish. And I totally get that because especially this day and age, people, I think, run the whole spectrum in terms of how they're going to react to photographers and, you know, being approached in public. Some won't care at all. Some are, you know, just ignore you. They just don't care, period. And, you know, and then some will embrace it. And so it's a real roll the dice kind of situation when you're out there. And it takes a certain amount of energy to approach people to do this. And some days you just like, I just don't feel it today. I just don't have the energy to walk up to that stranger and tell them that I want to take their photo or that I just took their photo and can I use it? And so then you end up not doing it. And maybe you're passing on a lot of shots. Here's the thing, though. There is something in between what we call standard street photography with people, where you know you're just really interacting with them, and then not doing anything at all. And it's what I call non-confrontational street photography. That's the middle ground. And I have 5 things for you to try that are related to non-confrontational street photography. And these are the techniques that I'm going to be teaching during our workshop in March. That's going to be in Los Angeles. I'm going to do that with Mike Baining. And he's got a great style also for street photography. And of course, we're going to be teaching all sorts of other stuff as well. But I thought I'd give you these five tidbits right now in case you're one of those folks that sometimes just don't have the energy or just a little shy when it comes to approaching strangers. So let's see how we still can come away with some people shots in our mix. Now, the first point is let them come to you. And I think a lot of new street photographers are under the impression that they always have to be on the move, you know, hunting their subjects like lions in Africa hunting their prey. And, you know, I'm going over here, I'm going over there, I'm going to find this. You don't actually have to do that at all. It's just not necessary. Another way to go is find an interesting spot and park it. Yeah, just park it. Find an interesting spot where lots is going on. Park it and just watch the world go by you. What'll happen if you get your camera out, you know, you're being transparent about your situation, you know, you're sitting up nicely, you've got a smile on your face, you're making eye contact. Some people will actually come to you. They will. They'll actually come to you. They'll ask you, you know, what you're doing or how your day's going. And you go, hey, I'm an enthusiast photographer. Would you mind if I take your portrait? See, now they've come up to you or they have entered your space. That's a lot different than you entering their space. And you'd be surprised at how many times they say, well, yeah, sure, I guess if you want. You take their portrait and off you go. Sometimes people will come by and they'll kind of, you know, linger in your area a little bit and you can, you know, talk to them. It's a whole different dynamic. And I think part of it is that you're taking a non-threatening position. When you just park it, you just hang out, you're transparent, you're making eye contact, you have pleasant energy. Good things often happen when you put yourself in that situation. So the first point is, let them come to you. Second point, be ready for street performers. There are a lot of street performers out there. As I said, I just spent a few days in Los Angeles, out and about, scouting for the workshop. And street performers can be anywhere. They can be at busy intersections. I had a great one perform on the subway when I was going to the Hollywood and Vine station. She goes, hey, I want to do this hula hoop thing. I'm really good at it. And people kind of clear a little space for her. And she does the hula hoop thing and then, you know, collects a few dollars. It's a great photo op for you. They are expecting their pictures to be taken. Be transparent about it. And then also be ready to give them a tip, right? Be ready to give them a tip. And that's one of the things that I always do. When I'm doing street photography, I always have some $1 bills ready to go, maybe a couple fives as well, just some small change. I just keep it in one of my pockets. I don't put it in my wallet. I don't like to pull out my wallet on the street. And that way, if something interesting happens and I want to tip a performer, then I can just pull out a dollar or two. It's just right there and hand it to them. And then the other thing that I do, I go, hey, do you want me to hashtag this anything specific? And if they do, if they give you their Instagram handle or a hashtag or whatever, write it down and make sure you add it. It'll make them very happy. And sometimes it could even lead to a connection in another photo shoot later on. So street performers, I think, are great photo ops. Just be ready to go. Be ready to tip them. Be ready to shoot. Have your camera out and, you know, get a few shots. The third thing, colorful people that are out and about, they're easier to approach. So when you see someone with an outlandish outfit or dressed very uniquely, they tend to want attention. I mean, that's just kind of what's going on with them. And I have had extremely good luck approaching these characters and saying, hey, I really like what you got going on here. I'm an amateur photographer or I'm an enthusiast photographer. And do you mind if I take a few shots? Do you mind if I take your portrait? And, you know, a lot of times, almost all the time, they're more than happy to engage. And not only are they more than happy to engage, will give you more energy, more eye contact than you would get from just an average person on the street. So I think that colorful characters that are out and about, don't discount them. Don't say, hey, you know, I don't want to approach that person because you may judge them as odd or weird, when really they're just colorful and they're probably a great photo subject. So just keep that in mind when you see those folks out on the street. Fourth point, have business cards ready. This is so important. And they're used a couple different ways. Now, when I say business cards, these are simple business cards that just have your name, photographer, if you want, or amateur photographer, enthusiast photographer on there, your email address, and then if you want, your website or your Instagram handle, you know, whatever you have going on there. Very simple. Just, you know, just that basic information. And there's two ways that they can be super helpful when you're out and about. First way is that if you're not a stranger to them, they'll be more comfortable with you. So how does this work? It works is have that business card in your hand, go up to a person that you want to photograph, hand them the card right away and say, hey, I'm an enthusiast photographer. I love taking portraits of interesting people. I think you've got a great look here. Do you mind if I take your portrait? They have your card in their hand. They can look at it and they go, hey, you are Derek Story. And I see that there's some contact information here. Suddenly, you're not a stranger. You're not a weirdo. You know what I mean? You're someone who's really into this and this is what you love doing. So that way, you have made an introduction and you have created a bit of a connection just by handing them your card so that you're not a stranger. You have given them your information first before you take anything from them, which would be their picture, okay? Now, another way that I like using it is that when someone goes, hey, can I have a copy of that shot? And you go, absolutely, absolutely. I really appreciate you letting me take your portrait and you can have a copy. Again, give them the card and say, just send me an email to that address that's on there. Tell me about this encounter and I will make sure that I send you a photo. Put the ball in their court so that they have to contact you. You have the card ready to go. It goes really fast and really easy. Okay, so, and then make sure you follow through. You know, I always talk about this whenever I talk about photographing people in the city. Make sure you follow through. If you say you're going to send them an image, if they send you an email, make sure you do that and, you know, make it look as nice as possible. So having business cards ready, super important, you know, when you're out there taking pictures. It can help break down a barrier, create a connection, and it also can be an easy way to have a follow-up. And the fifth point is, the fifth tip for my non-confrontational street photography is have someone friendly with you. Like, let's take me for example. So here I am, I'm this tall guy, I'm relatively big, and, you know, so if I walk up to somebody who's, you know, 5'4" and petite, and I'm, you know, there's kind of a presence thing there that really isn't fair to the subject, right? So, but what if I have, like, a pleasant person with me, a pleasant woman with me who's, you know, also whatever, 5'5", 5'6", a nice smile, good personality, and then she's there with me, that suddenly it makes it a little bit more all right. Sometimes it makes it a lot bit more all right. And the nice thing about when you have someone with you to help break the ice is that while you're getting your camera ready, you're getting ready to take the shot, you know, they can be having a conversation, they can be talking, you know, the rapport can be building, you know, while you're focusing just for a few seconds on your camera and getting the thing ready. So having someone friendly with you, I think is very, very important, very helpful. And also, I think it gives you a little bit more confidence, a little bit more courage for interacting with people when you have someone there with you and you can confer. You go, you know, you're walking down the street and you see a certain potential subject and you go, what do you think about him. You know, you think that'd be a good photo? And, you know, your partner says, your friend says, your photo assistant says, yeah, I think so. Let's go over and talk to him. It's a little bit easier in that situation than when you're just out there by yourself. So having someone friendly with you just works on so many levels. And then you have someone to share the experience with as well. And in general, I like photo buddies. I think photo buddies are just a great thing that really doesn't get talked about as much. You know, a lot of times we're just out there, we're you know, these lone wolves out there, you know, roaming the wilderness, you know, roaming the landscape or roaming the cities, and having someone with us instead of being just a solo operator, I think is just kind of healthy all the way around. Those 5 points, and let me just give them to you again, and then I want to talk about camera just for a second. You know, first one, let them come to you. Be ready for street performers. The more colorful, you know, they're easier to approach, generally speaking. Have business cards ready and have someone friendly with you. That will really take a lot of the barrier out of approaching folks when you're exploring urban environments. Now, in terms of the camera, I'll tell you, the camera that really works well for me when I'm doing this is my Olympus Pen F. And there's a couple reasons why I think it's a good camera for out and about. One is it's not too big and it doesn't have these giant lenses on it. People do not like to be at the receiving end of giant lenses. It makes them uncomfortable, right? It makes me uncomfortable if someone points a giant lens at me. You know, so the Pen F, it's Micro Four Thirds. The lenses aren't too big. You know, I feel, you know, more amateur when I'm holding it. I look less intimidating. I think it works really well on that level. And then the other way that it works is I can't tell you how many times people ask me, hey, is that a film camera? Or is that an old camera that you're using? And of course it's not, but it's got that beautiful retro styling. And a lot of times it becomes an icebreaker. The camera itself becomes an icebreaker because of its design and the way it looks. My point being is not that you have to go out and buy a Pen F to do this. My point is that, though, in your collection of cameras, pick one that you wouldn't mind being on the receiving end of. And if you've got something that is, you know, a little colorful or a little retro, if you got a nice, you know, Fuji that, you know, looks really cool, like, you know, the X100F or something like that, there's more than one reason why these are good street photography cameras. Part of it is, you know, the camera itself and how it operates, but part of it is the way people respond to those cameras when they see them and their comfort level, you know, when it's pointed at them. So choose your camera carefully, choose your lenses carefully. You don't need a big old honking lens. You should not be sneaking pictures of people. I don't like that method at all. Just, you know, go out there, be transparent, make eye contact, follow these 5 points and see what you think. My guess will be that your percentage of people shots will go up when you're out exploring urban environments if you follow these tips. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be teaching these practices and all sorts of other stuff during my upcoming LA Street Photography Workshop in mid-March. And there's a link in the show notes if you want to go over to the reserve list page. And you might also want to check out my article. I just published it and it has shots from the last scouting trip. Join me in March for the LA Photography Experience Workshop. I talk a little bit more about what I learned on that last scouting trip and how I'm going to incorporate it into the workshop. If you're interested in it, I think you'll enjoy that article as well, right there at thedigitalstory.com. Alrighty, so this, I tell you, when you do this, it really makes the whole urban thing a lot more fun. Give it a try. And if you have given it a try and you want to comment on what you learned, you might have some additional tips. I'm going to post this podcast on the Digital Story Facebook page and you can comment there. How sharp is too sharp? This is kind of a subject that has come up in my mind anyway many times over the years. And I don't think I've ever talked about it on the show, which surprises me after 700 and some odd shows. But it came to mind again the other day because I have this one lens that I use on my Nikon DSLRs, and it's the Nikkor 24 to 85, I think f 3.5 to 4.5 zoom lens. It's the, you know, one of their AF zooms. And that lens is just like so sharp that in post-production, I have to treat it differently than a lot of my other lenses, you know, either Nikon lenses or Olympus lenses or Pentax lenses. It is just like super sharp. And if I sharpen in post, and sometimes we fall into these habits, right? You know, we do this amount of highlight and shadow recovery, and then we sharpen this much, and we add a little bit of definition or clarity. And, you know, we kind of fall into these patterns and maybe not really look at the photo as closely as we should while we're doing this. Now, the point of this particular bit here is that you really need to take into account the lens that you're shooting with and the camera that is on when you do your sharpening. And maybe even in the back of your mind, remember that some lenses need a little bit more sharpening on certain cameras and some lenses need much less. Because what can happen is that you might be unwittingly over-sharpening your image, and that would degrade their photographic appeal. And over-sharpened images, you know, they have that digital look. They have that edgy look. They're really not quite right. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if you think you got the photo right, and you do this trick that, you know, we've talked about on other shows, where then you step away for a while and say 10, 15 minutes, go do something, and then you come back and look at it, and you go, oh, wow, you know, that's too edgy. You know, that's way too edgy. And so what I want to do is just sort of plug this notion in the back of your mind so that when you're working on your images and you are sharpening, that, you know, you're aware of over-sharpening them. And, you know, maybe you dial it back a bit. Same thing with definition and clarity. Maybe dial it back a bit. And also keep in mind that different subjects are sharpened differently. Certain, you know, like an architecture shot or something that has a lot of edges in it, buildings and, you know, machinery and things like that. Yeah, you can sharpen it more and get away with it. A mixed content shot, maybe like a person in the landscape or something, you have to be careful with that. You know, you don't want to over sharpen it. You don't want to give it that non-photographic look. Super sharp is not always better. And then as I led off this segment with, you know, some lenses are just different than others. And some lenses have that innate super sharpness and other lenses are more balanced. And, you know, the more balanced ones, you know, you can get away with sharpening a bit more. The ones that come out of the can sharp, you got to be careful with. Don't want to overdo it. So just think about that when you're doing your post-processing. Don't over-sharpen your images. Step away from them for a minute and maybe kind of create different approaches for the different lenses that you work with. I want to do a little virtual camera club business. First of all, I want to thank our Inner Circle members. Last week, we randomly picked a winner for our first Inner Circle review. And I just heard from B&H today that the carbon fiber tripod is being shipped and on its way. So we should have our first Inner Circle review published on The Digital Story. I'm hoping, you know, sometime around mid-February or so, something like that. So I'm really looking forward to that. And of course, we're going to keep these reviews going. Inner Circle Reviews, this is part of the benefit package that comes to Inner Circle members. These are the people that support this podcast month in and month out. I have the highest respect for these folks, and I really appreciate, you know, them supporting this community. And I'm always looking for little things that I can do for them. This latest with the reviews where they get to keep the product afterwards is kind of fun and I'm enjoying it and it feels like they really like it too. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is go to the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over to the site, take a look, and let me know what you think, right? If you're interested, or if you just look at it and go, yeah, you know, this is for me, go ahead and become a member right on the spot. And for our Inner Circle members that we have right now, thank you so much. I so appreciate your support. We have tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story in the second column for both B&H Photo and for Amazon. And those are affiliate link tiles. In other words, if you're going to buy something on Amazon or B&H and you go to the Digital Story first, you click on one of those tiles, and then you go about doing your shopping, search for what you want, then that helps support our site because those are affiliate links. And when you purchase something, we may get a small percentage as a thank you from B&H or Amazon. And it doesn't cost you any more, doesn't change the price at all, but it does help support the site. We also do that with links in the text that also say, hey, you know, we're talking about a lens, and then we link to it on B&H. That's an affiliate link as well. The main thing that you need to know is that it helps support the site, but also that it's an affiliate link so that we have full disclosure here. And those links do help support our site. So thank you so much for those of you that do use them. And for everyone else, just know what they are so that I can stay out of trouble with the FCC. All right. And finally, be sure to visit our friends at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They are such great folks. They have a wonderful product. I just love their printing paper. I love the variety of surfaces and densities and how the paper is made. I mean, it's just endless how many different looks that you can give to a photograph when you print it out on Red River Paper. Comes out of your inkjet printer. And by using these different stocks, these images can look very different. It gives you another creative tool for your imagery. And as you may recall, I did a whole podcast last week on getting started with inkjet printing. So if you're really interested in getting going with doing your own printing, check out last week's podcast. You might also want to check out their Red River Paper site because they have tutorials, they have reviews, and they have a whole lot of supply for you. It's a great spot. You know, that is the place to hang out for printing. They're our longest running sponsor, and I thank them so much for supporting this community. And also, they have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. Alrighty, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope it gave you a little bit of encouragement that when you're out in the world, in the city environment, with your camera, you know, that you'll have your camera out and that you'll get a wider variety of images thanks to these tips for non-confrontational street photography. I'm working on some great stories for next week. Come back and join me then. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.